lights, you're witnessing something that comes along once in a lifetime.
Who was going out there time and time again, pulling it all on the line and continuing to show up?
Conor McGregor. He's been away for some time now. Who should welcome him back to the octagon?
Conor doesn't care. Conor says, I will fight anybody, anytime, in any way.
So, who is McGregor going to fight?
I look inside myself and see my heart is black.
Donald Cowboy Cerrone!
You're looking at a legit wild man. The all-time leader in wins. The all-time leader in finishes. Who likes fighting more than Donald?
By anyone, anywhere, anytime.
Conor, here I come.
You're too slow and too stiff. You're stiff as a board. I'd snap you in half.
Come on, man. Sit the f*** down.
Yeehaw!
Hey guys, and welcome to this week's edition of The Man Show. This week we'll be without Cav, so we'll be primarily focusing on this weekend's UFC card. We'll be touching on the NFL, and we'll be doing a little bit on the WWE Royal Rumble. We're going to start, of course, by looking at the UFC card this weekend, and of course, primarily focusing on the main events. This is a vital main event, not only for the fighters, it's the big fight that Donald Cerrone has been waiting for. It's Conor McGregor's comeback after 15 months out after a humiliating defeat by Khabib. But it's also big for the UFC as well, because this is their cash cow. There are loads of other big money fights out there for Conor McGregor if he can get past Donald Cowboy Cerrone. And I'm talking short of the unwinnable rematch against Khabib Nurmagomedov. I don't think that's a direction that Conor McGregor is going to want to go in, because Khabib Nurmagomedov wins that fight 99 times out of 100. I would say not even 9 times out of 10, I think would be an exaggeration. I think Conor maybe hits that left one time in 99 fights and puts him down. That's how sure I am of Khabib having the tools to win that matchup. We've previously cashed on Khabib for over 4 units. I think it was the biggest bet in history of lockbetting.com, short of the futures plays that we do at the start of the soccer season. So let's have a look at this matchup and how these two fare. For me, Donald Cerrone is going to have to move away from his striking game in order to win this, because Conor McGregor is the superior fighter in this one. He's the much better boxer, better movement on the feet, and he probably has more power, despite the fact that he's the man who moved up into this weight. And previously in press conferences, there was skepticism from the 155ers if McGregor could move up, but that's ancient history now. He has moved up semi-successfully because he has suffered losses at this weight, but I still think he carries over the power. I think that's been proven with the fact that he disposed of the likes of Eddie Alvarez with this kind of power, and I am expecting the same. But that's if Conor McGregor is the same. Now, it has to be the same Conor McGregor, because the narrative that the Cerrone camp are putting out for this fight is that Conor McGregor has a left hand and a first round. But even if that narrative is true, Cerrone needs to get out of this first round, and the prices indicate that that may not happen, because Conor McGregor is 1-2 to win via knockout or TKO, and 6-4, so plus 150, to win this one in round one. I have a feeling that Cerrone could go down in round one or two, but again, I'm not going to be taking that at 1-3, which is what Conor is to win this fight, just in case it's not the same Conor McGregor. Now, bear in mind, he took 15 months out after losing to Khabib, and when he came back and from the Khabib fight, that was off the back of the Mayweather thing, so that whole boxing charade that he went off and did. So he hasn't fought a lot. It's been a long time since this dude was a regular full-time MMA guy, and that's going to have an effect on you, no matter how many repetitions and hours and things of that nature that you can go and do in the gym and to prepare for fights. There's nothing like being out there in the actual octagon, and this isn't your usual tune-up fight. Cerrone's been fighting more than anybody in the UFC. He's had more fights, more knockouts, so this isn't a guy who's ever gonna have any rust on him. So for Conor McGregor to be the minus 300 favorite coming into this, he needs to be the old Conor McGregor. There needs to be clear and substantial evidence that this is the same Conor McGregor before, that was knocking dudes out with that left hand, and just the cocky, sure, confident Conor McGregor that everybody loved. And that could be another factor. Everybody doesn't love Conor McGregor anymore. He's proven himself to be a bit of a dick over the last 2-3 years. I mean, I always thought he was a dick anyway. Never been a fan at all. Always rooted against McGregor, unless I had some money on him, like I had money on him on that money line when he was a slight underdog against Aldo. Cashed in there nicely because Aldo froze in that fight. I do believe if they even had that fight again, Aldo would have won it, but I think I was really looking at an immediate rematch there. I think Aldo himself has faded more so recently over the years, but in this instance, for me, I don't think I want to play Conor at minus 300. If I did play him, I would at least take it to minus 200 for the knockout. And I'd be interested in knockouts in rounds one or two. I think once it moves past that, the advantage moves over to Cerrone, because he has been fighting more. He's more used to 3- or 5-round fights. He has more weapons to win this fight as well. If he can keep it at range, he has a better chance of winning the fight. He needs to keep it on his... he needs to keep it with... leg kicks as well. I don't think he wants to engage in a fist fight with Conor. He also will be better on the ground. Now, that isn't the advantage that we thought it was. So, because despite all of the negatives that came out of the Khabib Nurmagomedov fight, where Conor was schooled on the mat, he was schooled by the best wrestler in UFC history, possibly. Well, he could be, in my opinion, anyway. And he still was able to defend quite a few of those takedowns and did hold off that submission until the fourth round. So it was clear cut in terms of who was dominating the fight, but Khabib wasn't able to just have his way with him. And the reason behind that was because Conor probably did loads and loads of hours of wrestling in order to defend that, because that was the way Khabib was going to win the fight. But you can't just cram in hours and hours of wrestling and be able to get in there with Khabib and Nurmagomedov. Now, with that hours of wrestling in the bank, because it's not going to be something that fell out of his head all of a sudden, it would probably just need a nice touch-up on this camp. I think that wrestling would be substantial enough, all those hours in the bank, to survive the onslaught of Cowboy Cerrone if he can get him down to the ground and he chooses to go down that route, which I think would be advisable, because even though Conor will be able to defend it, he would still be taking rounds on the cards here at this juncture. And while I don't expect it to go to the scorecards, I think Cowboy's strategy would be best suited to do that. If Cowboy can mix wrestling and he can lock up a submission in any round or even take it to the championship rounds, he will find a way to win this, which again proves that there isn't really any value in the minus 300 on Conor, because Cowboy can survive what Conor throws. Because even though I don't agree that he's one round of the left hand, I do think he's 2 rounds of the left hand. So it's not a million miles off. It's not that insulting when you look at Conor McGregor's history, because the final 3 rounds will certainly favour Cowboy. And if he can get past rounds 1 and 2 And then he can implement the wrestling and look for submissions and then use his superior cardio. He will be able to win this fight. He's not as durable as he used to be. So I don't think he'll actually will go down to the judges. I think this fight is probably 2 years too late for Cowboy. But then I think if it had been 2 years ago anyway, you would have 100% been getting Conor in his prime and Cowboy would have been knocked out because Conor would have found the shot to do it. So I think even though Cowboy isn't in his prime, in a weird way, the timing does suit him. This is his best chance to beat Conor McGregor because of the rust. And if Conor was to lose this fight, I don't know how he comes back from this at all. I think it's more favourable for Conor to avoid, to win this fight and then avoid the Khabib fight because there are other fights he can take. I think the Diaz Part 3 rematch is a bigger fight and more winnable. I honestly think it's a bigger fight in terms of what it will generate financially because I don't think anybody really believes that Conor and Khabib is going to be any closer this second time round. So for me, I would avoid that at all costs and I would be looking for other fighters in this division and I think Diaz Part 3 is the big money fight. But it's big money for everybody. It's not big money for Cerrone because this is the biggest as it can get. And this would be the biggest win of his career without doubt. But it's big for Conor. And most importantly, it's big for the UFC. The UFC will be wanting their guy, Conor, to get out of this fight with the W and move on to bigger and better, more profitable fights. So I think this one for me is a bit of a stairway, to be honest with you. On this card, we also have a rematch between Holly Holm and Raquel Pennington. These two fought back in 2015. It was Holm's UFC debut. She ended up winning a split decision. I don't know how much has changed here, really. I mean, Holmes since then has obviously gone and had that massive victory over Ronda Rousey, but her career has kind of gone downhill since then. But I still think that she's still obviously going to be the best boxer on the division. So when it comes down to stand up and kickboxing, I don't think anybody is in Holly Holm's level, other than maybe if you're talking about I don't know, actually, in terms of technique, it's hard to say. Obviously, there are fighters that have worked out Holly Holm. She has had a load of losses since that Ronda Rousey fight, but I don't think Raquel Pennington is going to be one of those people. Holmes is levels above Pennington in the striking department. Holly Holm will get the job done here, I think, in a 15-minute striking battle. I don't think she'll be taken down. I think last time they fought, looking at the stats here, yeah, Pennington was 0-5 on takedowns in the first matchup. And she also flew through and landed less significant strikes by a significant amount. Therefore, I think this one plays out exactly the same. I don't see anything here other than Holly Holm winning this fight on points. So that's going to be my pick here in this one. And I'm looking here on the odds checker site in terms of what's the best possible price that you can find on that. Because obviously Holly Holm to win, you can take that at just short of -120. In fact, I'm seeing it at 8-11 best price. So she is a slight favourite going into this. But for me, I don't see Holly Holm stopping her here at all. I just don't see that being the case. I think this one is going to be a fight that basically stays on the feet with Holly Holmes basically jabbing it out at range. And I think points is the real way to go here. But I mean, I saw earlier that you could pick this up at around about 6-4. So I'm just going to double check that for you guys now. Holly Holm, Raquel Pennington. Yeah, best price on Holly Holm to win regularly is 8-11. And the method of victory, actually, you can get that at, you can only get that at around about 6-5. So the 6-4 is gone. Well, reason I just took a little bit of time to check that is because previously I've obviously put out stuff here. And people get a little bit pissy when the podcast comes out and the price isn't there. So I'm giving you the price as close to the day as I can. I'm recording this at 2 p.m. UK time on Friday afternoon. So that's going to be, do the time differences here, 9 a.m. In America. and it depends where you are. If you're on the West Coast, it's going to be 6 a.m. So his prices are correct as of that time, and the line has moved here for Holly Holm being a 6-4 favourite to take this on points decision to now being 6-5. So we're 100% accurate here on that as we record this show. Moving on to the next fight we're gonna look at here on this card. We're not going to look at too many. Obviously, if you want the full picks and the official picks, then head over to my website, lockbetting.com. We're just going to look at a few others. Alexa Grasso versus Claudia Gadela, which is an absolute toss-up. For me, I don't have a strong opinion as to really who wins this. I think Claudia Gadelha is going to be a lot stronger in the early rounds. She's going to be trying to stop this, look for a submission and whatnot. But I think the later rounds will favour Alexa Grasso. I do think it goes to the later rounds. Like most women's fights, it goes to points. It's 1-2 to go the distance, and it probably will go the distance. In fact, I would be looking at parlaying the Holly Holm fight and this Claudia Gadelha fight. So Pennington Holm and Grasso Gadelha both to go the distance, and you can parlay that together for a pretty sweet return. The last fight I'm going to look at individually is going to be the Anthony Pettis fight. He fights against Diego Ferreira. Now, obviously, we all saw Pettis knock out Wonderboy. I think that was just really a rare blast from the past. I think Pettis is a fading fighter. I think a few years ago, this would have been more of a competitive fight. But for me, I just see Diego Ferreira grinding this one out on points. So that's three fights in a row that I'm going for to end up in a points decision. Diego Ferreira here is the same price as Holly Holm was to win via decision. So 6-5 for Diego Ferreira as a decision. So I'm relatively certain about that one as well. For the lock from the UFC side of things, I'm going to go for Holly Holm to win her fight via decision. So no official play coming from the Conor McGregor fight. I don't think there's any value in anything there for Conor to win. Obviously, if it's the old Conor McGregor, as I said, he will find a way to win his fight inside the first couple of rounds. But there's probably a little bit of value on Donald Cerrone in this fight, because he could be facing a rusty Conor McGregor, and Donald Cerrone is a great fighter who probably wants this quite a fair bit. So definitely some value in the underdog in that one. Yes, guys, your childhood is calling you. You may recognize that music. It is the WWE Royal Rumble music. Well, the most famous Royal Rumble music. I think that was the music back then when Ric Flair won the 1992 Royal Rumble to become the WWF champion at the time. And we are heading towards the Royal Rumble next weekend. I do have permission from the guys to actually cover this on here, but I'm only going to cover it briefly, because if you want full Royal Rumble picks, head over to my website, lockbetting.com. Or you can even get WWE packages by going to Dirty Sheets, my Dirty Sheets website, which is dirtysheets.net. Or the dirtysheets.com, I have both of them. But dirtysheets.net, I would say, the easiest one to go to. I'm not going to preview the matches on this card. Haven't had many announced, really. Roman Reigns is competing in both the Royal Rumble and in a match. He takes on Baron Corbin. That will be on the card. Becky Lynch has a rematch against Oscar, which I feel that she's going to get through. Bray Wyatt defends his Universal Championship against Daniel Bryan. And then, of course, the main events will be the Royal Rumble matches. For those of you who are not in the loop, we now have a women's Royal Rumble match and a men's Royal Rumble match as well. Loads of prop markets here. We have winners markets, final four markets, and most eliminations, Iron Man's, and shortest stay, or Iron Woman as well. I'm going to start with the women's match. Shayna Baszler, who was available when this market opened at evens, has now been backed into 1-2. She is going to be the winner unless WWE can can quickly advance talks with Ronda Rousey, because Ronda Rousey was the first choice here to have a rematch with Becky Lynch. Although last year wasn't a one-on-one match, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey main evented last year's WrestleMania. They did want Ronda to come back and face Becky this year. Ronda said that she was going to go off and have some children, but that actually hasn't transpired. So I think WWE believed that she was available. But so far, there hasn't been any successful talks. So in her place will be Shayna Baszler, who quickly dropped the NXT title to Rhea Ripley, making her available to step into this slot. I think that's the biggest matchup you can do short of doing Ronda. There isn't really any other opponents here for Becky Lynch. The biggest match, I guess, prior to this was the Oscar rematch, because she legit does have a losing record to her, and that match will be taking place at the Royal Rumble, where I do believe Becky will get her win back. Could be worth parlaying Becky with Baszler here at the 1-2 price, because Baszler probably will be winning this Royal Rumble. In fact, I'm certain that she is, so I'd probably be recommending a bet on that. As for the rest of it, I think the Iron Woman bet has to go to Charlotte here at 3-1. I think that's what she'll be given to compensate for the fact that she won't really be involved in a high-profile match in the women's division this year. It's interesting to see who Bayley will face on the other end of things, on the SmackDown things, because there isn't really any opponents for her. I wouldn't be surprised to see Lacey Evans and Bayley added to this card, and Lacey Evans picking up the title, making a match between Banks and Lacey Evans here. So Banks could be an outsider to win this Royal Rumble this year. If you are really looking for more value, she's available at 10-1, and she's 3-1 to be the Iron Woman in this match. I also like Charlotte Flair for the most eliminations here at 4-1, and also like Rhea Ripley at 4-1 as well. Sasha Banks to be in the final four, I like at 1-2. So there's a few things I like here in the Women's Royal Rumble. Get the official picks over at lockbetting.com. Moving on to the men's side of things, well, Roman Reigns has emerged as a clear favourite at even money, and that's because we are most likely going to be seeing Roman Reigns against The Fiend taking place at WrestleMania. Whether it happens via a Royal Rumble win, I'm not 100% sure, but it's difficult for me to see a Raw winner, especially with the addition of Brock Lesnar into the Royal Rumble match. And the belief is that the Raw opponent will be determined by whoever eliminates Brock Lesnar. That's not official, but Brock Lesnar, for some reason, has entered this match, not only due to lack of opponents, because the company failed to build up any credible stars to challenge Brock Lesnar at this event, but it seems like an angle to actually build someone up. So somebody is likely to eliminate Brock Lesnar, hence starting a storyline feud, as opposed to being the official winner of the Royal Rumble, which guarantees you a title shot at your chosen belt. So I think Roman will be the SmackDown guy. He'll probably win and choose Bray Wyatt on his own brand. And the Raw feud will involve the guy who eliminated Brock Lesnar. Now, this could be a number of people, because Drew McIntyre has been booked very strongly on TV. I like him here as a 6-4 shot to finish inside the final four. Aleister Black could be another contender. He's been kept strong on TV. He's 5-1 to finish inside the final four. And another rumor is that Edge will be returning. He's 4-1 to finish inside the final four, but he's at even bigger odds to be the Iron Man here. And I like him as the Iron Man, because it will show him in a good light, and it will be a strong return. And you can get that as big as 28-1 here for him to be the Iron Man. Brock Lesnar is the favourite to be the Iron Man at 8-13. His favourite for the most eliminations at 2-1 is because he's starting number one. I think Drew McIntyre is a good outsider for most eliminations too at 4-1. But ultimately, all things here point to Roman Reigns winning the match. And unfortunately, in my opinion, I think Cain Velasquez, the former UFC guy, could be the guy who gets the elimination on Brock. I don't want that to happen. I wasn't a fan of the Cain Velasquez Brock match the first time around. It was poor. I'm no interested in seeing a rematch. I don't think Cain's right for the WWE. Just because you do the UFC doesn't make you right for a WWE transition. It did work with Ronda. It would work with Conor McGregor. It would work with Jon Jones. I don't think Cain Velasquez has the personality to transfer over, and I definitely don't want to see another match between Brock Lesnar and Cain Velasquez at WrestleMania. But I do believe Wyatt versus Reigns and Velasquez versus Lesnar could be the direction that we go in after the conclusion of the Royal Rumble. But as I said, more information will be passed on to me, and I'll be able to give you some insider picks over at my website. You need to sign up though at lockbetting.com, or you can go to my other Patreon page and get these picks for slightly cheaper. There is a combat pack over there if you just want MMA and WWE stuff, but that is all you'll get, and it's $40, and you head over to DirtySheets.net. That's DirtySheets.net. We close out with my NFL thoughts. It's difficult for me to do the NFL this week because I can't really be neutral here. I'm a Green Bay Packers fan. I have tickets on us to win a Super Bowl, tickets for us to win the NFC. So for me, I'm desperately pulling for Green Bay to win. As a professional bettor, I would think Rodgers is able to keep this one within 7.5 points. I would say the same for the Titans. Andy Reid actually has a crazy record against the Titans. They're the only team he hasn't beaten twice, with a 1-8 record against them. But I'm not really a believer in all these like numbers and statistical trends, because you really have to take each situation as it is. I think the Titans-Chiefs game will be won by the team that gets out in front. I do think Kansas City Chiefs have a better chance of pulling back the lead, but I think you're going to see a lot more of Henry running the ball up if they're in front, whereas instead if they're chasing. If they're chasing this game, I think Kansas City Chiefs easily win this game by the 7.5 that's been posted, probably win this by double digits. It's important for Tennessee to get their run game going early and challenge the Chiefs with it and get in front, because if they're chasing the Chiefs, this is going to be a blowout and people will be wondering how the hell Tennessee even got there, even though we've seen evidence of how they got there. In the other game, I think it's really big for Rodgers. Obviously, I'm going to say this, but I just have the feeling with the whole San Francisco 49ers not drafting him, with him being a California boy, coming back and haunting them. It's got that story. Also, the Chiefs-Packers was the matchup at Super Bowl 1, so we get the rematch at Super Bowl 100. There's a lot of factors here. A lot of novelty factors, which obviously isn't something that you want to be betting on, because novelty is certainly not one of the top reasons that I would give to bet on something. There was a teaser that I saw by the girl that actually works for the SGP, and I can't even claim it was my own, because it pretty much was the best bet that I saw out this weekend. She took the Chiefs down to a 0.5 and extended the Packers up to 14.5. That's a great bet, and I'm not doing her a good service here by not remembering her name, but I know that it's a girl that the SGP have on board, and they post out her video picks every week. And this week she already landed LSU -5. We of course landed LSU -4 as well here on my service, lockbetting.com. Went against everybody backing Clemson. Or an unbelievable run at the moment with tennis in the NBA. Really, really good month of January. It's a great time to sign up for lockbetting.com in time for these NFL picks, in time for the UFC card, and of course WWE Royal Rumble that we've already covered. So we got through a lot of shit here today on the fight show. And don't forget, head over to mybookie.ag to get yourself that $1,000 bonus. So use the promo code SGP and get yourself the $1,000 bonus. For those listening on the Dirty Sheets, this is a double up show this week. I'm not doing a separate edition of the Man Show, so I think there's enough Man Show type content here for you guys to keep you going this week, with Cav being away. So that's it from me. That's it for this edition of the Man Show / Fight Show. Good luck with all of your bets as always, and thanks for listening, guys.